This podcast is a quest for well-being, a quest for a meaningful life through the exploration of fundamental truth. Enlightening ideas, insights on physical, mental, and spiritual health. The inspiration is love. The aspiration is to awaken new ways of thinking that can lead us to a new way of being. Being well. Welcome to Body, Mind, and Soul Healing Conversations.
As women, we truly need to realize it's okay to give ourselves a break once in a while. Ask for help. Hire someone to clean your house or do your laundry. And figure out ways to lighten your daily load and stresses. Life will always throw curveballs our way. But isn't the point of living to actually be present and live it? Give yourself grace if you're having a super shitty day. And go to bed early, and hopefully, you'll wake up feeling better tomorrow. The point of life is to work to be happy and fill our days with laughter and memories with those you love most. Our measure of life's quality is how we react to daily obstacles and how we choose to overcome them and what kind of attitude we want to carry through it all. We can choose to let these things break us, or we can choose to stop. Take a breath and not let these things have the power. We owe it to ourselves to live the life we want and not live it on a runaway train that feels out of control. So, what would you change right now to get yourself back on track and reduce some of this crazy pressure and stress we have created in our lives? Take your control back and go be the badass person you're meant to be. Valeria interviews Chelsea Husom. She's the author of Real Vibes Only, Unapologetic Confessions of a Hot Mess Mompreneur. Chelsea Husom is an unapologetic force in entrepreneurship, personal growth, and empowerment. Chelsea, an intrepid female entrepreneur, has shattered barriers with the predominantly male construction industry, established a thriving startup in a major market. She helps make up the only 11% of women in construction and stands out even more as a female business owner in the field. She is thriving in a man's industry because she chooses to do things her way. Chelsea has triumphed over significant adversity and trauma, including enduring the pain of sexual assault. Chelsea is fervently committed to sharing her narrative of resilience and triumph, illuminating how she not only survived, but thrived. What truly distinguishes Chelsea is her relatability and humor, making her an inspiring and relatable figure. She doesn't just share stories, she brings them to life, leaving listeners engaged and feeling connected and seen. In a world filled with curated content, she offers authenticity that's a valuable addition to any podcast episode. Meet Chelsea at chelseahusom.com. Here's the interview with Chelsea Husom.
In your own words, who is Chelsea Husom?
I am a mother, a wife. I'm an entrepreneur, an author, a speaker. I'm a positive person that believes in working really hard, sharing dreams, inspiring others, and supporting people so that we all can rise up together.
Yes, I love that. What's not to love about that idea as a concept, as an experience, and as a vision, right? A goal to have in life. There's something about this desire or this long to help others to connect deeply that seems to be shared within all of us humans. And I wonder why. I have my own answers here, but talk to me for a moment about that.
I think specifically, a lot of times, especially as women, we are kind of taught by society that we need to be these perfect beings and have everything together, and we're managing a million things, and you know, it's all should be going really well, and we should be happy and fulfilled while doing it. And I think there's just so much pressure to keep things inside if we're struggling or not doing okay. And yeah, I agree with the connection. We need to be real and raw and vulnerable and authentic and just say it's okay to not be perfect. We don't want to be perfect, but allow each other to feel seen and heard and connected so that we aren't suffering in silence when life happens. And we know it always happens, right? We all go through adversity, but it's to connect with each other and build each other up and make people say, oh, I'm not alone.
Yes, I love that. Yes, that's a powerful and insightful message. For some reason, some of us forget that right? truth that we are not alone. So true, Chelsea. So I have read parts of your book. It's titled Real Vibes Only, Unapologetic Confessions of a Hot Mess Mompreneur. I hope I pronounced that correctly. Yep. Mompreneur, that's a new term.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Your book will be released on Amazon February 14th. Yep. So this podcast will be live after that, but so the audience knows. Wow, you've been through a lot. Mm-hmm. So I guess the question that I have in mind initially is, what experiences, let's say, were the most defining ones when it comes to who you are today, Chelsea?
Mm-hmm. I think if you're okay with it, I'm going to share two, and I'm going to share why they're defining, because I dealt with them very, very differently. So one was about 20 years ago. So I have a Spanish degree and I was studying abroad in South America in Ecuador. Mm-hmm. And, I had been down there for a few months and I was, drugged and raped by my, Spanish professor at that school down there. And then I was left alone in an abandoned house. Really had no idea where I was. And, honestly, that I didn't tell anyone for 20 years. I was in my 20s. I hadn't done a lot of work on myself. I hadn't done a lot of personal development or knowing what I need to feel good and healed and, you know, thriving. And I woke up on this dirty mattress on the floor that was the only furniture there. And I tried to get out. I was getting like electrocuted by the door, this weird door for like a half hour. I was crying. Just trying to literally get out of this horrific place. And I had to take a taxi back to the school because it was morning time now and it was a school day. And so I took a taxi back to school and had to see his face. And I was in the same clothes as I was the day before. And I didn't tell a soul, absolutely no one. I shoved that down. I shoved that trauma down so deep. I locked it. I threw away the key. To not think about for so many years. I think I was probably deep in my heart knew how horrible that was. And I probably could have died, you know, and I think I just pretended just like it didn't happen. That was the only response I had. So fast forward 20 years, and very recently actually, I had been going through a lawsuit for about 2.5 years and honestly, that ended up being the absolutely most soul-sucking, horrific experience I've ever had in my life, even worse than the actual physical assault, because this was day after day living in fear, feeling attacked, feeling powerless, feeling victimized every single day and having to live with, you know, someone saying these horrible things about me and knowing it's not true, but still having to go through that for so long. And I remember I was waking up in hives. I would wake up in the middle of the night and just be like, oh my God, this isn't a dream. It's real. Like, just with this dread and heaviness and literally terror in my soul. And it just seeped into my life. And I remember waking up one day and I was like, I'm not okay. I am not okay at all. And I remember texting a girlfriend who is a therapist. And I said, hey, I need help. And she's like, babe, I got you. She's like, I know I can tell you need help. I got you. So she gave me some therapy sessions, very inexpensive ones, and just to get me going right away. And really that helped me. And so the way these two situations, the reason I kind of tell them together is I felt powerless. I felt victimized. You know, a lot of those same deep feelings of trauma likely are coming up, right? But for the one, now that I'm, you know, I'm just turned 40, I've done the work. I know, like, you're not going to be okay. Get a therapist. Stop drinking. You need to get out in the sunshine. You need to move your body. You need to eat healthy, or you will not make it through, because you have to take care of yourself. If you're, you know, you don't say no to some of those meetings, like, they're going to be okay. Mm. It doesn't matter right now. You need to actually just take care of yourself to make it through this. Yeah. So it's so interesting to me how we approach different things and, you know, work through these things. And I feel like now, as a little bit older adult, you know, I've done that stuff. And so I'm proud of myself in this situation for looking at it and saying, nope, you need to take care of yourself and do some things for yourself right now, you know, to make it through this and be okay.
Yes, yes, yes. Wow. Ah, I had no idea, Chelsea. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm sorry for what you've been through. And I read parts of the book and it was, you went through a lot there. And then you just shared something that I didn't know. Wow. With that in mind, gosh, I feel everything. I used to push that away too because it was too sensitive. And so many people said that to me. You're too sensitive. You cry too much. You take everything personally. I mean, taking everything personally is not a good thing, actually. But we're not supposed to kind of be okay with unkindness, with, you know, violence and all that. So how do you make sense of suffering? Why do some of us go through some horrible experiences? How do you make sense of that?
That's a great question. I feel like while it's not fun to go through suffering, going through adversity is the one guarantee of the human experience. We truly will. And I truly think we go through it, because if we didn't, how would we know joy? How would we know happiness? How would we know fulfillment? If we were just live this mediocre life, you know, it was all the same all the way through, we wouldn't even know true joy or happiness, I feel like. So it really, while you're in it, it's very difficult and it feels like it will break you, right? We've all been there and gone through things, and you're just like, how will I make it through? But you will, and you will dig out and you will come out stronger on the other side and you will make it through. But yeah, it just, it's hard. But I think that to be grateful for the good times, we have to have made it through some tough times.
Yes, yes. Wow. I love the way you speak about these things.
Thank you.
Especially after gone through, you know, so much. I have been through a lot too, and I do interview a lot of women and men who went through a lot.
Yeah.
Do you feel that we women suffer more than men?
I don't know. I mean, I guess I can't speak for the men. I do know that a lot of women just hold, they are suffering or going through things and they hold it inside. But I will say, I also think and I'm not saying everyone needs to do this, right? I know we've all been through hard times and not everyone's going to get on a podcast and talk about it or go speak about it or write a book about it, right? And that's totally fine if not. But number one, you need to know to get rid of the shame and guilt. It's okay. You need love yourself and move past that. What if you're still feeling that, right? And then, but for some of us, we feel like I feel called to now share my story, because honestly, every time I say something, they're like, actually, I was on a few podcasts and there were both men podcast hosts, and I told some of these stories and they're like, actually, I went through something very similar and I just told my wife about it and I just now opening up also. So it's interesting to me how men and women alike are keeping these things secret because we feel shame and guilt and embarrassment, right? Or something's wrong with us or that we did it or whatever, which is it's just not okay. So I don't know. I mean, I'm sure we approach things differently, but I truly think there are way more of us keeping it silent than we would want.
So true. Yes. So, so true. In a way, I thought men did that more than we women, because we are sometimes known for sharing our feelings and talking more and all that. And men, they are not known for that.
That's true.
But you're right. I think all of us tend to hide certain things out of shame and fear. That said, you mentioned earlier something interesting about when I asked the question about suffering, that in order to know joy, we need to know the opposite of that. It's like the contrast. And I wonder if there's a point in life where we become, in my case, I'm very spiritual, so I'm always very grateful for everything, and joy is it's often present. And I can say now that about 10 years ago, when I started on this journey, going deeper spiritually, then my life changed. And then my reality is very different. Even COVID and all that, it kind of didn't, I was not affected by it in any way. Yeah. So I wonder if there's something to do with that too, Chelsea, where the more we connect with, let's say, universal intelligence and God's, per se, God's intelligence or essence or energy, and then we don't need to experience the opposite anymore because we are already in that realm that we are aware of the suffering, but there's no more need because we are so grateful for the experience as a whole. I don't know. There's something about that.
I would love to believe that. You know, you get to a point, or hopefully the suffering is less, right? Or you're so focused on what you're grateful for and all these beautiful blessings in your life that all the hard times don't seem as hard. Hopefully, you know what I'm saying? I feel like that might be the case too.
That is true. I didn't think it that way, but that makes sense too. It's a matter of focus, That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Because I do experience more joy and, you know, happy feelings. Not that I'm not addicted to them or trying to be happy, but they're just here. Are.
Yeah. That's a beautiful place to be. I love that.
Yeah.
But also too, we all know somebody who's really, really negative, right? And we all know what we focus on comes. So, and when they're super negative, like every single bad thing's happening to them over and over. And you're like, how is this even possible? Yeah. How on earth do you this keep happening to you? Like all this stuff.
Yes.
But it's because that's what they're focusing on. So maybe too, like we're focusing on the good. And so that's bringing, you know, good also.
Mm. Yeah. There's something about that. Now, I don't know for sure. I love the idea of going by experience and not beliefs or anything that other people say. I like having my own experience to know for sure. Since we're talking about spirituality, do you have any spiritual practices or perspectives about yourself in life, views?
Yeah. So I grew up Methodist and I was really, really active in the church. I did all kinds of stuff. And then as I grew up, I don't identify as much with organized religion. I'm way more spiritual and I believe in God, universe, source, energy, everything. So that's what I focus on. And, really gratitude's a huge practice, meditation. When I'm in my office working and I'm like wound up and I'm just stressed out and I'm like, you know, my brain's like fried, I force myself to go outside and walk my chocolate lab dog and look up at, I literally just focus and look up at the sky and breathe deep and say, stop, bring it down a level. It really immediately is the quickest thing to recenter myself when I'm getting, you know, just all wound up about work and you know, the craziness of life. Is getting outside, getting fresh air, getting in the sunshine. And honestly, that's where I feel the most aligned and happy and connected when I'm looking up and I'm like, yep, wow, this is so powerful. Yeah. And really in nature or just laughing and playing too. I think as adult, like I don't know the study, but when you're a kid, you belly laugh all the time, like all the time. And then as we become adults, we never do anymore. It's that really breaks my heart and it's so sad. And so it's like, go play and laugh and have fun and find joy. Whatever brings you joy, that's what we should be chasing. And somehow, I know life's crazy, you know, but somehow find a way to build that into your day or every other day or at least once a week. Because that's when I feel just the most connected to everything.
Wow. Yeah. That's another beautiful, beautiful, insightful message for all of us. As a reminder, right? Playfulness.
Yeah.
I often talk about this here. Yes. In nature, it seems like we have this misconception, misperception that life can only be filtered through the mind. And we just became too much of a thinking beings, yeah. right? There's yeah. something about connecting to nature that expands something inside of us. And then we know that we are beyond the mind. We are something more than just our minds and our bodies even. What brings you the most joy these days, Chelsea?
Being with my family. I have two little boys. They're 7 and 10. So they're constantly running around. But honestly, if we're out playing or doing something fun, laughing, we go camping and boating a lot. My husband, we just like to be outside. And so when I'm on the boat and I'm listening to music and outside, that's my happy place for sure. Or just being outside playing with the dog. Yeah, a lot of it is outside in the sunshine. Something about it just that instantly, you know, brightens my mood. That's probably where I find the most joy, with my family, friends, and being outside.
Yes, yeah, that resonates true to me. Mm-hmm. And from my own experience, yeah, that brings me a lot of joy too. And working out, I don't know why. Yes. Maybe because I put music really loud. I love listening to music.
Yep.
That gets me going. So going back to your book, I know I have a lot of questions here for you that has to do with the book, but let me ask you just an open question, general question about the book, Real Vibes Only. What was the main intention of writing your book?
I'm going to preface all this saying I never wanted to write a book. I never felt called to do that, weirdly. I live in Denver and I heard this woman speak and she owns a publishing company. I was like, oh, maybe I could write something. And then I sat down to write and I had zero direction. I didn't have an idea for the book yet. I just thought, well, I'm going to sit down and write. And so these stories just poured out of me. So the book is a lot of short stories about my life, of things I've gone through. Some are pretty traumatic, some are kind of in the middle, some are lighter. But the goal is just to be really real, vulnerable, raw, unapologetic, and just put it all out there, you know, and just be real and say, wow, life's hard sometimes. Oh my gosh, but I love this, but this is hard. And, you know, or this was hard to get through, but look at me now. And, you know, I made it through, I'm stronger. The goal is really with these stories to have people feel a connection to something. And it might not be the exact same thing that they've been through, but I've been hearing that people are like, oh my gosh, you get me, you get that I'm over here struggling. And I don't feel alone. And that's the whole point. I want people to, if they want to speak up, that they can speak up, or if they can release any shame or guilt, or they just know we don't need to be perfect and we shouldn't be striving to be perfect. Because right. I mean, I never want people to think I'm perfect. That is just boring anyway. And I don't have the energy for that. I'm going to be honest. You know, I'm a mess and but I'm a good person and I try hard and I want to be better each day. So it's just for the people out there, you know, it's for women, for men, entrepreneurs, moms, not moms. It's for everybody that just wants to feel connected and say, you know what, she kind of gets me, or, you know, feeling connected in that way.
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly how I felt. I didn't read the entire book, but I did read the passage you just sent to me. And I mentioned off record, the one that you talk about, it's called Hell. That's the passage title. Mm-hmm. And you said, I have been beaten down more than I ever thought possible and felt so powerless and victimized for the last few years. And then you say, no more. And then you encourage yourself. I love the way your self-talk is very powerful.
Thank you.
That's such a beautiful message for all of us too, because a lot of us, it's easy to have a conversation, a positive conversation with other people and all, but it's not as easy to have that conversation within ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, our own, the self-talk is that's where everything starts. So I'm always paying attention to the way I talk to myself. I mean, the thoughts when they come into the mind, I'm always paying attention to it. And I see how beautifully you encourage yourself.
Thank you.
Kind of translate into encouraging us, everybody else who reads the book. That's really wonderful, Chelsea. Want to go back to the book? And no, I don't want to do that now. I have another question for you. I have way too many questions.
You're fine.
You do have a podcast too coming up, right, Chelsea? Do you want to talk about that for a moment?
Yeah. So I'm getting the book out first. I'm definitely starting a podcast this year. And it's probably going to be along the unapologetic confessions storyline also where people can just come have real conversations, celebrations, talk about things they've gone through, how they've gotten stronger, what they've learned. And it's not, you know, we're not sugarcoating anything. It's just going to be real, raw, and out there. And I think that's what people will relate to. So that is on my radar, hopefully in the next few months this year. Just need to wrap up book and all that stuff first. But yeah, I'm excited. And I love, you said earlier, I just love connecting with people. It's so powerful hearing stories. And every time you hear, you're like, wow, look what you've been through. Look what you've accomplished. It's just a really neat thing to be able to do.
I absolutely agree. Yes. I love connecting with people meaningfully and deeply. Mm-hmm. And I host this podcast for that reason mainly, because I was not able to do that, let's say, with my family. With my husband's getting better now. Mm-hmm. And then some people in my family, I can't talk. I can't go as deep. And my neighbors, my friends, and then people at the gym. So this is my sacred place, I call it. So I can just go as deep as I can here. What you'll be offering is very interesting, because it's storytelling, being very open to share details and all that. This is something that for some reason, it's not really a calling for me. The stories, sharing stories and going back to the past. Perhaps because I've done that already myself. And I don't know, for some reason, I love talking about spirituality. For some reason, that's still a calling for me. And also trauma, because that's things that I relate to, as you have been traumatized in the past, and so many of us have. I think it's a very important topic.
Oh, absolutely.
With that in mind, Chelsea, I do have a question for you about healing. Where do you see yourself now when it comes to healing? I know you talk about perfection. There's no, I love that. No perfection, no destinations. Yes. But what helped you the most when it comes to healing to be who you are today?
I think really for me, it was looking at how my body is feeling first, because we're so far into our brain and into our mind when we're struggling. And I had to take a step back and say, okay, well, you drank two glasses. Well, and I love red wine, love it, but it hates me. And I was like, well, you drank two or three glasses of red wine last night, and now you're going to have a headache all day until you go to bed. And I don't have time for that. I'm way too much going on. Yes. You know, and things like that, looking like that's not helping me right now. And it's, if I have a headache tomorrow, I'm not going to be able to feel like I can make it through what I'm going through, right? So it was to take a step back from the mind, get help with a therapist, but also look at my body, how I was taking care of that to actually physically have the energy to get through it, I think was the biggest thing for me, truly.
Yes, yes. That's another insightful practice for all of us to be more in tune with our own bodies. We often forget the body, you're right. And that's the anchor of this reality, really. It's holding so much information. It's such a powerful tool. Another question I have for you, gosh, I keep kind of changing questions a bit too much. It's all within the same meaningful topic, but thank you for keeping up here. Another question is about your idea of success. How do you define success these days, Chelsea?
Ooh, I love that question. I think I wrote a chapter called Success in my book. So I'm very passionate about that as well. So some people, I'm just going to give you an example, but you know, some people, let's just say success is you build a company, you are making money, you're getting recognition, you have clients, you have all these things, right? You're working, you're an entrepreneur, you're working 60, 70, 80 hours a week. And then your company is, quote, successful to everyone on the outside, right? But then you stop and turn around, and you've lost your health. You've lost your family. Your wife hates you. Your kids hate you. Your dog won't even come near you. Your health is failing. You're stressed out. You're miserable. You have no joy in your life. To me, and so I own a construction company in Denver. So I've started it from the ground up, built it. It's has become, you know, pretty successful. We're doing well. But if I will not lose my life and my happiness and my family to build that. So for me, success is building a good company, an organized, strong company with great employees who know they are appreciated and they're taken care of, right? Yes. Who feel valued and seen and appreciated, like I said. But also it's taking care of my health. I get up at 5:30. I go right to the gym because my phone starts ringing at 7 a.m. with construction. You know, they're all up super early working at 7. So if I don't do that for myself, that falls away because I'm going to tell you at 2 p.m. or 7 p.m., I'm exhausted. I'm not going to go to the gym. I just know that about myself. So I have to do it. But it's, for me, success looks like having, looking at the non-negotiables. What are the things that are so important to you first? Making that in your life and creating boundaries to protect those things. And then you build the business around it. That is what success looks like to me for sure.
Wow. Yeah, I love that too. How many times I said love? Yes, that's a lot of wisdom. You see, what's not to love about wisdom? Yeah, taking care of yourself. That's always, to me, has been the first one for the last 10 years. But so many of us forget to do that.
We do. It's hard.
It is. And it is a byproduct of self-love, isn't it, Chelsea? Mm-hmm. I think that comes first. We need to love, at least like ourselves.
Well, yeah, and you'll be a better boss, friend, wife, daughter, mom, whatever. You will be better. But like society, for some reason, especially with women, says that we're selfish if we take care of ourselves, which I don't agree with at all. It's not okay. But, and we need to, those people that actually do take care of themselves, their mind, their physical health, all of that, spiritual health, they will show up better for everyone else and not be resentful for it, right? But you have to do that and you have to not care. Hopefully the people right around you support you, but we all know sometimes the people closest to you are the ones the hardest on you, right? And they question what you're doing. If they're not out, you know, big dreamers are doing big things themselves, they can try to pull you back where it's comfortable. But we need to have like that self-love and say, nope, this is what I need. This is, you know, this is how I'm going to build my life and then go out and build it.
Yes, yes. So I read that one of the passages in your book, it talks about that. Women, I love that. And actually, it's the introduction of this episode for that reason. I love the way you talk about that too, the advice there. Yes. So I'm wondering why, again, men are actually better at taking care of themselves and loving themselves than women are.
I don't know if they're better, but for some reason, there's like this idea of women that they have to maybe be a mom that just does everything for everybody else. Yeah. And you're always taking care of everyone else, right? Or it doesn't matter if you're a mom or not. But, you know, look at the old like shows, you know, the old sitcoms or something like that. The women are always the ones like showing, doing all this other stuff for everybody else, right? So I don't know if it's, I would say there's just this weird stigma that still, it's starting to go away, but it's still kind of there. That just makes us feel bad for wanting to be healthy and thrive.
Yes, it might be a society thing. It has been built, right? We've been kind of been expected to behave in a certain way.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's not easy to undo. Let's say unlearn. That takes so long. But on the other hand, I also noticed two things about myself being a woman is that I am very predisposed to be nurturing more than my husband. I noticed that. You know, when he's sick, I'm always, you know, I'm just paying attention to my behavior. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, that's different. And then also, I don't see myself as an object. So it seems like I always have energy to do all this stuff because I'm not a car that could break. I know the body could break, actually. I could get sick. But there's something about, I don't know, it seems like we don't think that way. I don't know if you agree, Chelsea, with that, but that's my input.
Yeah, I think if you keep like a car, if you keep the car maintained and fueled and oil changes and blah, 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 it's going to run well, right? Just like our bodies. So yeah, that's kind of what my brain goes to when you say that.
Yes, right. The comparison I made with the car, right? But not thinking that we are objects kind of change the way we interact with reality and with people and things and the experiences themselves. There's something about that. And I think that's what it's coming from. I think that's my theory, I guess. Mm-hmm. Or perhaps I heard from somebody here. I'm sure I probably heard that before. So talk to me a bit more about being an entrepreneur. I know in the book you did talk about that. Let me see. There's a chapter title. Which one? I don't
know. There's a few.
Yes, right. And there you talk about how hard it is, not for the faint of heart.
Mm-hmm.
And you give a lot of advice on that. So what would be some of your suggestions? That's one question when it comes to entrepreneurship. And also, what does it feel like? What is it like to be a woman in, let's say, in the men's world, in the mm-hmm. men's, you know, construction is a, mm-hmm. has been seen that way. Oh, my yeah. husband's actually in that business too.
Oh, nice.
So talk to me for a moment about that, those two things.
Yeah. So, well, being a woman, there's only like 10% of women in construction. And I think of owners as even definitely less. The cool thing is I've had the honor of meeting quite a few women, a lot of women in Denver that work in the industry, and they're amazing. Some of them have been in 20, 30 years. They are the ones that paved the way, not me. You know what I mean? They were the ones. But you know, some of these are female owners with hundreds of employees doing multi-millions a year, which is to me amazing. And really, so what I would suggest, like for being an entrepreneur, it is not for the faint of heart. It's not easy in any way, but I believe it's worth it. I'm ruined. I told my husband I'm ruined forever. I can never go work for anyone else ever again.
Like, yes.
I love being my own boss and just doing what I need to do. But you know, it's, you got to be in it for the long haul and have some thick skin and know that it's going to be tough, but you can make it worth it. One, you know, I would figure out you have to set boundaries. Like for me, I started my company in March of 2020, which, of you know, what else are we doing at that point in the world? But I also worked another full-time job until April of 22. So I was at home with my family for a large part of that, working two full-time jobs, which is insane, you know, and it wasn't good. I finally was like, what am I doing? Now that I've stepped into this, it's setting boundaries. So for example, I always get approached by bankers or insurance people because they just want my business, right? And they're always like, hey, can we have coffee? And, you know, so I can know how to support you. While that is very sweet and wonderful, I say no. Because honestly, I'm not looking to switch banks or insurance companies. And it's a waste. I've come to realize at the beginning, I just said yes to everyone. Now I'm like, that is truly a waste of my time. There's nothing coming from it. I'm not moving the business forward. I'm not earning a new client, whatever. So I kindly say no, because it's not doing anything for me. And it's wasting their time too. I don't want, you know,
right.
I also, you know, have surrounded myself. Like I said, these women that are these owners, I rely heavily on them. You know, when I first started, I would have weird situations and I was kind of green still. I didn't really know. And I would call and say, hey, this happened. Like, what should I do? And ask them for advice. So I would say, find whoever is doing what you want to be doing and who's doing it really well. Find those people, surround yourself with them and get to know them. And then they want to share what they've learned. They made mistakes and learned from them. They want to help you, you know? So things like that are so powerful. And then we talked before, but build your life the way you want it. So many people, it's like a badge of honor. Oh, I work 80 hours a week. I don't, I don't. And I don't even think I work 40 hours a week. I work my butt off when I am working. I'm a very hard worker and I bust it out and I move on, you know, but it's like, I don't feel like, oh, I have to work all these hours and just be miserable to like be considered a successful or, you know, be considered an entrepreneur. To me, that's, you can do it differently. You just have to choose differently.
Wow. That's really amazing. Yes. I love wisdom. I love your wisdom.
Thank you,
Chelsea. Thank you for sharing. Well, thank you. Yes. The message of not being nice. You did. You have a passage on being nice.
That's hard for me. I always want to be really nice. And I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yes, me too. And I see women, we have this, mm-hmm. some people even call it disease. I don't want to say it that way. But yes, it's something that we need to mature, I guess.
Yeah.
I love the idea that we can be truthful and kind at the same time.
Yeah, we don't need to be mean. We're not like, that's not what we're trying to do. But yes, truthful and kind. Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love that. That concept, I think we can practice that more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I want to read something from, I think the passage title, Life is Hard.
Okay.
And you say, our measure of our life's quality is how we react to daily obstacles and how we choose to overcome them and what kind of attitude we want to carry through it all. We can choose to let these things break us, or we can choose to stop, take a breath, and not let these things have the power.
Mm-hmm.
So not take over.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't read that well. I think you would have read probably much better.
It was great.
I'm just saying, yeah, your words here. So beautiful. I love that message.
Mm-hmm.
It's a spiritual one too. I know you speak of quality of life.
Mm-hmm.
I speak more of seeing life as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, yes, right. It's how we not just react and not respond either. It's how present, how can we carry that presence, you know,
mm-hmm.
from the things that we know to be true and mm-hmm. and kind of let that flavor to just take over whatever's happening here.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about that. Somebody said that beautifully too. She or he, I don't remember. It's not about being perfect. It's about being present.
Oh, absolutely.
And to me, that's what it means, Chelsea, really, mm-hmm. knowing what the truth is or mm-hmm. whatever we have found from experience that's true, and then being able to apply that in any moment. Some people call being a high performance type mm-hmm. of person,
mm-hmm.
which is interesting. It's a fascinating idea. I interview so mm-hmm. many people and I have all these, you know, different concepts and beautiful messages, but some of them just stay with me because it resonates so true.
Mm-hmm.
Like this about performance. You know, that got me thinking or reflecting about that. Like you're a great speaker. I love the way you delivered the message.
Thank you.
Because you're being true, you're being in the moment, you're being genuine. It's just being
just
true
ramble.
To what is true to you.
I just ramble on and on.
It's just being honest, you know, to what is here.
Yeah.
That's what we need more because we don't. I don't need to think in order to be, you know, honest. It's
mm-hmm.
it's here. It's all over you. So there's something about high performance that you just mentioned about just doing that
mm-hmm.
doesn't resonate with me.
Yeah.
But there's something about being present
mm-hmm.
that kind of connects with that idea of high performance, just being present to what is here.
You could be a high performer, and if you are present, wow, think how much more powerful that would be, right?
Right, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, the combination of,
mm-hmm.
yes, high performance in the sense of having the energy, right?
Yeah,
the enthusiasm.
Yeah.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
that's beautiful. Yes, I agree. The joy of doing what we are doing,
mm-hmm.
being grateful for what it is. Well, I have to say, I love this, doing this. I'm expanding out to something else, but it's still, it's, some people say it's a calling, it's a purpose. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel like it's not a choice even.
Yeah.
I'm sure you feel the same way, right?
Right?
That's
that's so amazing and powerful.
Yes. Yeah, that's it. So let's see. Gosh. Yeah. Another thing that caught my attention, it was the passage about everyone will always leave.
Mm-hmm.
And then here you address limiting beliefs. We have so many, right? From
mm-hmm.
trauma, from experiences from the past, especially childhood.
Mm-hmm.
So talk to me for a moment about that. I want to mm-hmm. read what you part of the passage you said, I thought that I wasn't enough to make people stay. How do we actually become open to explore our own belief systems? Because I think it starts there, right, Chelsea?
Yeah. Well, I'll give a little context to that story. So my parents got divorced when I was 3. And so my dad then lived 6 hours away. So I didn't, I only kind of saw him in the summer and, you know, Christmas break. I didn't see him a ton. But my parents really tried to get me to go visit him as much as possible. And, you know, I remember he started dating this woman. She had a son and they dated for years and they were great. We became like a little family, right? And then I just remember one time when I went out there and we were still at the house, but they were gone. And my dad we just didn't talk about it. And I was a little girl, you know, and he probably just didn't know that I needed or that I was like, huh, there's no one here. You know, what happened? And we just didn't talk about it. So then we went on. And then, you know, a couple years later, he started dating another nice lady and she had a kid or whatever. And same thing, it happened a few times. And then I would come back out, you know, a different year and then they were gone again. And so weirdly, it didn't affect me as much then. I mean, it was sad and confusing, right? But I think it subconsciously affected me because I saw then when I was growing up and when I was starting to date, I would start dating people and I would always start sabotaging the relationship. It was never past 2 years. I would never let anything go past 2 years. And I would sabotage it and then I would break up with them because, and I had to do some real deep soul searching that like I had been taught that everyone is always going to leave you. When you finally let your guard down and get close, they're going to leave. And so, you know, that's what I did. I left them before they could leave me because everyone's always going to leave you. That's what I had been shown, right? So it took quite a while. And I also, it made me realize I did not date good guys at all. I didn't have self-worth, but I just dated the bad boys and they were just treated me horribly and I just let them, right? And so now I'm like, why did I do that? But I really don't know. That's, you know, where I was in life. But, you know, and then it's like demanding more that no, you're not going to let people cheat on you or walk all over you or treat you badly. You deserve more. So I feel like for me, it's just been going, I've had to go through these life experiences and figure it out. And honestly, until I met my husband, he was the first one that made me actually feel safe and secure. And he loves me completely. Like I'm a weirdo. He loves me and he's a weirdo. We're like the best partnership for two weirdos. Like we get each other so well. I'm like, no one else would put up with us at all. But you know, he made me feel safe finally. And then I just knew that. And you know, we've been together ever since. So I think it's not always like, you know, hits you in the face and it's so obvious, but as you go through, you're like, wow, what, you know, what was happening? Why did I allow people to treat me like that?
Yes. 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 Being, while asking that question, that, wow, that opens the possibility, right, Chelsea, mm-hmm. for change. Mm-hmm. Why am I allowing this to happen?
Yeah.
Yeah. In my case, it was a lot of, I had to work on self-forgiveness because mm-hmm. I couldn't trust myself mm-hmm. being around, as you say, people who are unhealthy, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely.
And not knowing why. Yes. So challenging, always asking questions, going deeper. I love the idea that we can build courage because it's not easy, as you say. It's not easy to go deeper into healing and question, have those questions. Those are not easy questions to answer or to try to find out the answer. Most people run from them.
Yeah. A lot of people never, you know, address those things, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They don't have the courage even to ask the question, right? Let alone exploring the answer. I want to thank you for having that courage because that's what we need more in our reality as human beings. I truly believe that it's not about becoming fearless, but having more courage.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what you're showing here, Chelsea.
Thank you.
I love the way you write. I know you use a lot of the S word, the F word.
Mm-hmm,
I was reading like, oh gosh, I cannot read them.
Yeah.
I'll just not.
I definitely swear.
You know, we express ourselves differently, but the message is the same. It's the same thing. I love, absolutely love how deep you go. You're not afraid to have more courage. That's beautiful. We do need that inspiration. You're such an inspiring person. Oh, beautiful
person. I appreciate
that. Thank you. So we're almost at the end. I do have a few more questions for you, the ending questions. I want to also mention another part that touched me was one of your students who lost the body, left the body. Max, his name?
Max. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You said Max would want people laughing, smiling, and living in the moment. I love that message.
Mm-hmm.
So that caught my attention because this is really, it's the spiritual part of me that comes up when I see that. Yeah, of course, no one dies. Mm-hmm. I don't believe we die. The body, yes, was not meant to be here forever. But we as spirits, as souls, we're always here. Yep. Where we go anyway, we're always here. Mm-hmm. So you want to talk for a moment about him? Or would you like to read a passage in your book, Chelsea? Any other passage?
I don't have it pulled up with me, but I can talk about him. So he was a student I had when I taught high school Spanish, but I also had him in a few other classes. And I had him and his classmates in quite a few classes for a couple years at that point. And, he was just a fun, silly kid. And one thing that I am very grateful for is, so three boys fell in a retention pond in the winter, and one sadly died there. Max was in a coma for 10 days and then died, and then the other boy lived. And it was just really a horrible time for our school family. You know, a lot of pain, a lot of sadness. And but the day before this pond accident, I remember I was sitting at my desk, and like Max every day wore the same, pretty much same exact green sweatshirt every single day for like years. And that's just what he wore. And I remember sitting at my desk working, and I looked up and I saw Max, and he was helping this special needs boy on the computer. And I remember just stopping. And I looked and I was like, oh my gosh, like, look at him. And that day he was wearing this cute little outfit. He had like this little puffy vest on, and I just remember sitting there going, wow, he looks so grown up, and I'm so proud of him. Like he's come so far. And I remember just sitting there and kind of stopping and being like, having this like motherly pride, you know, of so proud of him and who he had kind of grown into the last few years. Right. And so I'm very grateful for that moment, because at the time it felt a little weird. Like it was kind of like, okay, that was a little weird, you know, but knowing what happened, I mean, it's like God and the universe knew that would be the last time I saw him alive. And so I can literally picture it. And I'm just so grateful that I have that memory of him, you know, and that's the last one, you know. And yeah, just and I really struggled. I was extremely depressed. I sobbed myself to sleep for months. I was just pregnant with a new little baby, and it was rough. And finally, you know, again, I had to go to therapy and cry that out. That was a long one. But he was just the light. At his celebration of life, all these different kids from all kinds of different backgrounds, you know, the sports kids, the drama kids, the kids in band, like every kind of kid stood up and shared memories of how he made them feel like seen, and that he was friendly and helpful to them, and just they loved him, right? And he brought joy to people's life. So I finally had to say, yes, I've grieved this as I should, right? It was horrible. And he left this earthly world, you know, way too early. But finally, I had to say, he wouldn't want us crying down here. He's looking down. He wants us laughing and spreading joy and living in his honor like he lived, right? So mean, it was tough. But now my mentality shifted to joy.
Yes. What's not to love about that too? Yes. Yes. As we get to see more the depth of life, then we get to appreciate more those profound messages. Yeah. What is somebody, because the body is just a vessel anyway. Mm-hmm. We're just here to kind of share messages from the spiritual world.
Yeah. Oh,
so
absolutely.
I do feel everything is spiritual. We have this idea that we have a body and the body, but it's physical, but it's really spiritual. Yeah. I love how the way you feel, you allow feelings to just flow, to just, you know, do what they have to do, carry the message that they have to carry. And even when you say it was horrible, yes, of course, I can imagine it for the emotions. Yeah, it is. It doesn't feel good. Mm-mm. But I love how the growth, you know, you just grow into powerful messages from tough experiences.
Yeah.
Wow, Chelsea. Thank you so much for being you.
Thank you so much. I hope I could add some value to your audience, and I really, really appreciated talking to you today. Oh, you're wonderful.
God, you add value to life, to humanity, not just
so
this.
You.
So you know, you're beautiful.
Thank you.
So my ending questions, I usually have these ending questions here. So I'll have the link of the book. I don't have it yet, but we'll be there when the episode's live. So it'll be on the podcast notes. I'll have your website too. The website is chelseahewsome.com. So I have that here. It will be clickable. And before we say goodbye for today, Chelsea, this question I ask everyone, so I'll ask you too. What three experiences you wish everyone to have before they die, before they lose the body?
I would say pure joy. Like pure, pure joy, gratitude, and adversity.
Wow, I have heard that before. Yes, I have. Yeah, more recently I have been hearing that to go through something.
Yeah.
Something. Yes. Mm-hmm. So we can grow out of that the way you have in so many of us.
And appreciate the joy, right?
Yes. A billion times to that. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much again. And we'll talk soon.
Thank
Bye for
you
now.
So
Beautiful
much.
Chelsea. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about Chelsea Hewsome and her work, please visit chelseahewsome.com.
To learn more about this podcast, please visit fitforjoy.org/podcast. Thank you again for listening, and bye for now.